Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, and welcome to Dare to Win. Tonight's topic, the way to black economic power. Again, the way to black economic power. Stay with us, don't touch that dial. We'll be right back on the other side of the music.
Thank you.
Good evening, and welcome, family, once again to Dare to Win. And yes, our roots began in Africa. And as Baba John Henry Clark often said, it really doesn't matter where the slave ships dropped us off. It's where they picked us up that mattered the most. So whether we live on the continent, in the Caribbean, in South America, North America, Asia, or Europe, all of our roots began in Africa. Again, welcome to Dare to Win. This is the Us Lifting Us Thursday evening radio program that comes to you via Blog Talk Radio. And Dare to Win is the place where we have a sober discussion of the economic and political plight of Black people and the global cooperative economic model that provides an exact method of gaining economic and political self-determination. We are building the global machinery for our economic freedom and sovereignty and the methodology to pass it forward to future generations. I want to say Habari Kuumba to everyone as we celebrate this sixth day of Kwanzaa. It's also December the 31st, the end of a tumultuous 2020 year, and we're on the threshold of stepping into 2021. Don't know what that holds, but we have some exciting plans for Us Lifting Us, and we're looking forward to sharing the good news with you this evening. My name is Brother Ankti, and I'm your host for this evening's broadcast. I'm excited and delighted to have with us tonight our elder statesman and co-founder of Us Lifting Us, none other than Baba Hekima Kanyama. Evening, Brother Baba Hekima, how you feeling this evening?
Doing great. Good to hear your voice, and it's always good to be with the family. I'm hearing shots and firecrackers. I'm not sure what in the background. But I guess people are in a festive mood as they leave 2020 and come into 2021. And hopefully 2021 will be a lot different than 2020. So, but anyway, I'm good and good to be with you and the family.
Well, that's good to hear. And, yeah. And you're absolutely right. We're all hoping and praying that 2021 will be a lot different than 2020. And as I alluded to, our topic tonight is the way to Black economic power. The way to Black economic power. And I'm sure as many of our listeners recognize tonight, Baba Hekima, that economic power is the first level of power. You have to build economic power if your political power is going to be able to accomplish what you want it to do. And certainly all the social institutions that rest on power, it's important that we as a people going into 2021 get very serious about the issue of Black economic power. So I'm glad that we have you with us tonight to shepherd us through this conversation, to guide us, to share insights with us, and to help us to think through what is it that we need to do if we're serious about building Black economic power. I'm excited for the program tonight, Baba Hekima, because as you were sharing with us offline, you've developed a very comprehensive and direct plan to help us achieve economic power. And I'm not overstating what it is that has been introduced into Us Lifting Us and through Us Lifting Us. So let's get right to the subject. When we think and talk about Black economic power, you're suggesting that the first thing that we have to do, the first order of business, is to build a primary cooperative platform, a co-op, that can then be the parent body of secondary and tertiary co-ops underneath it. So lead us into this conversation, Baba Hekima, as you understand the way to Black economic power.
Yes, and thank you for the opportunity. as you were talking about economics being the foundation, I reflected on Dr. Clark. He says that that economics is how you take care of your basic needs. Politics is how you organize your economics. And culture is how you season the two. Mm-hmm. And so that's very succinct. You know, if you're right, the foundation is taking care of your basic needs. And of course, the subject, the way to black economic power or the path to black economic power, it's really encouraging in that many of our people, I dare say probably the majority of our people, are looking for a path, are looking for a way for us to gain economic power. If you ask the average brother or sister, you ask them the question, do you think we should control the economics of our community? You almost have, 90%, 80%, yes. And, of course, those of us who would answer yes may not have a good idea of how, but we know the value of controlling your economics. And, of course, culturally, it vibrates in all of our spirits when we hear Billie Holiday sing the song, God Bless the Child That's Got His Own. And we really know what that means. And everybody on the planet knows what it means. And so in us lifting us, and, of course, Auntie, you know because you were there, we started a discussion in 2011 as a study group. And for more than a year, we met face-to-face dealing with the question of how. We knew that we should control the economics of our community, but how? How would we go about incrementally gaining greater and greater control? And so in 2013, of course, we formalized our thinking and brought into existence Us Lifting Us Economic Development Cooperative, LLC. And so what we're going to be covering tonight are the four basic elements of our master plan, or what we call the ULU Empowerment Plan. And you've correctly indicated that first element. That first element is the formation, the structure of what it is that is going to allow us to do what it is that we want to do. You know, I think it's probably a saying that all of us have probably mouthed or at least heard. They're saying that, how is it? I'm kind of lost it myself. In other words, you've got to have a vision before you can actually create it. In other words, I forget the little saying. I said it earlier today.
People say, but without a vision, the people perish, or where there is no vision.
That's the essence of it. No, it's you can't be what you can't see. What I was trying to say. You can't be what you can't see, but it's the same thing. And so we have a vision of us controlling the economics of our community. So how do you make it real? And so the first element, as you mentioned, is what we did in 2013. We brought the legal structure into concrete existence. The limited liability company, and if you Google, especially the state of Georgia in terms of the corporations or businesses, you'll see Us Lifting Us Economic Development Cooperative, LLC, a limited liability company. And so that's the first stage. And we had the wisdom to create a business platform that would allow us to grow into the hundreds, thousands, tens of thousands, possibly hundreds of thousands and more. You know, we remember that the UNIA, ACL, under the leadership of Marcus Garvey, had in excess of 5 million members. And so we wanted to create a structure that gave us the ability to have that kind of foundation. And members, of course, can be individuals or institutions and can be any place in the world. This foundation is where we pool or aggregate our resources. And yes, there are brothers and sisters hurting among us who may be hungry, may be out of doors, incarcerated in any number of positions and conditions. But when you really add it up, we are an extremely resourceful people in terms of capital resources, in terms of skills, energy, ingenuity, any number of things. And so the platform, this first element, gives us the ability to aggregate these resources and position them to build out the infrastructure or the platform that we are to build. So that's the initial element. And, of course, we have already existing right at 600 members. I think we're one member away from being 600. As a matter of fact, we've got several members pending, so we technically are over 600. And they're scattered throughout the world, Canada, Europe, East Africa, West Africa, South Africa, the Caribbean. We got one member stuck in South Korea, and I'm not sure. And when we vetted him, you know, he says, yeah, I'm here, and I'm not coming back to the U.S. But so, but that foundation is not completely built, but the essential elements of the foundation are in place, and we're in the process of building. So that's the first element.
Okay, so the co-op, and as you pointed out, it's a legal entity. It's registered with the state of Georgia, and it can operate throughout the United States and internationally as well. I'm just curious, Baba Hakima, why did we do the cooperative rather than just a straight capitalistic business? I mean, was it important that we did a co-op versus some capitalistic formation?
Oh, yeah. We knew, and we've always known, because remember coming out of, for the Africans in America, coming out of chattel slavery, our first instinct were to build mutual aid societies. We knew we needed each other, and we knew that the family was paramount in our spirit and in our vision. So we wanted to create a group ownership model, a collective. And the closest thing to that in legal structures are co-ops. Now, we chose to incorporate as a limited liability company and then to have our bylaws or our operating agreement identical to what it would have been if we had filed under the co-op statutes in Georgia. But we did not file under the co-op statutes in Georgia because it would not have allowed us to build the size platform that we intend to, and it would not have allowed us to directly reward our members for overall success. We wanted to create a win-win scenario. We wanted to empower our communities, but we also wanted to give a direct benefit to our member owners. But yes, we wanted to create a group owned platform and democratic, one member, one vote with elected leadership. And, you know, when you talk about a regular cooperation in America, you're talking about a hierarchy. You're talking about a few people at the top and the workers at the bottom, you know, minimum wage or less and getting abused. And so we didn't want to create the kind of structure we are suffering under throughout the world, wherever we find ourselves.
That's beautiful, Baba. I hope everyone heard that collective, group-owned, family-centered business model that we control and that benefits the masses of our people, not just a few at the top. Family, if you're just joining us, we're having a conversation tonight with Baba Hekima, elder board member of Us Lifting Us and one of the original founders. And the topic tonight is the way to Black economic empowerment. If you want to join the conversation, dial 929-477-2789. Again, the call-in number, 929-477-2789. Press the number 1 on your keypad. That will raise your hand in the studio. We'll open your line and receive your comment or your question. Baba Hekima, let's take a quick break. And when we come back on the other side of the break, we'll talk about the second element in the way to Black economic power, the Ulu-based collectives. But we're going to take a quick break. Family, don't go anywhere. We'll be back in 2 minutes. That was inimitable Pharoah Sanders playing Naima. Again, if you're just joining us, our call-in number is 929-477-2789. That's 929-477-2789. We'll get you into the phone conversation, or you can join us via your computer. Just go to usliftingus.com. That's usliftingus.com. Click on Listen Live Radio, and that will bring you into the studio as well. For those of you just joining us, this is Brother Ankti, and I'm having a conversation with Baba Hekima, and our topic tonight is the way to Black economic power. We had talked about the first step being the formation of a primary cooperative, group-owned, family-centered, and now Baba Hekima is going to walk us through the second point, which is the Us Lifting Us base collective. So, Baba, help us to understand what the base collective is and what it does as part of this empowerment move that we're making in 2021.
Yes, brother, and I guess the easiest way for us to wrap our minds around it is to say that the Ulu-based collectives is simply a chapter of Ulu. In other words, we have members in cities and towns, and the Ulu-based collective is an opportunity for these brothers and sisters as individuals and some of our members, of course, or institutions. but for the representatives of the institutions and individual members to come together to form small collectives in cities and towns throughout the African world. The primary reason for our brothers and sisters to come together is to form the base or the nest from which new Ulu co-op businesses are brought into existence, is nurtured, protected, supported. And in order to do that, of course, the collective needs to attend to some basics in terms of people getting to know each other, building relationships. And there are any number of tools that the local collectives would use to, in fact, build a relationship. They would be concerned about the welfare of the individual members. Also, as a collective, being mindful of survival, they would study together, any number of things. But they would also do some mapping in the local community in terms of the local business footprint, the black-owned business footprint in the local area, and get a good feel for it such that two things. We could build stronger relationships with the black-owned businesses in the community, but also have a sense of what's needed, what new businesses, what new models would be needed, and the UBC, the local Ulu chapter, would be instrumental in influencing the overall co-op in paying attention to their needs or what they may see, and ultimately to fund and support business development in locals. And so the real backbone, other than the initial formation, but ongoing, the power that we utilize to build and sustain the new black economy really rests with the smaller collectives. Now, not all of our members will choose to be active and involve themselves in base collectives, but we encourage as many brothers and sisters who have the time, the inclination to join with other Ulu members in your local community to build out these collectives. We want to, in time, we want to have thousands of Ulu-based collectives or thousands of Ulu chapters. And in some cases, we may even have multiple UBCs in the same metropolitan area as well. But that's the essence of them. Now, there's a unique relationship between the local collectives and a business that we're going to talk about in a moment called the Trade Basket. And but I don't want to get into that, but I want to give at least a hint now that the members in local communities are going to do some very creative things to help us connect all of us around the African world.
Thank you, Baba, and I like the way you gave us that example that the base collectives are like Ulu chapters in communities and cities and towns where our members are. And then the other thing I think you said that was so important was the idea that these base collectives are a place where we get to be face-to-face with each other. We are able to build relationships and kind of reweave the fabric of our community. There's so many forces pulling us apart, and COVID has certainly driven a wedge and made it hard for us to be who we are. I mean, we like to get together. And so we feel siloed and, you know, off, right, separated from one another. But I hear in your description of the Ulu-based collectives that this is a place where we can begin to strengthen these relationships and grow them.
Yes, yes. And not only the relationship between Ulu member and Ulu member, but Ulu member families. We want to, as best as we can, involve the young people and their aspects in Ulu. For instance, a member is an adult or 18 years of whatever the legal age in your state is. But we also have custodial memberships. You can take an Ulu membership out for a minor and build equity in the company such that later on that person has an income stream that was essentially built for them by a grandparent or parent or uncle or an aunt. And so we definitely don't want to isolate the younger people in the family. And you typically wouldn't see them as being a member of a business organization, an owner in a business. But in Ulu, I have six grandchildren. You know, one of them is deceased, but even his place is fixed. And my wife deliberately built an equity account for all of them in Ulu. And as we succeed, we're building a permanent stream of income for the young people in our families. And so we always want to keep, and when we say family-centered economics, we're not just talking about the members, but we're talking about the members and their families, their networks. It goes beyond just the individual members.
That's a beautiful thing. So that's point two, the Ulu-based collectives. Now, the third plank in this plan for economic power is the Ulu Mart and other businesses. So help us understand how that ties into the first two points, Baba Hekima.
Yes. Again, the reason or the motive or the aim of us lifting us is to build and maintain the machinery of economic self-determination. And integral in that are the individual business organizations that we establish. Now, Ulu itself is a business, but it's only a business in the sense of acquiring members and servicing the members. But as we aggregate our skills and our financial resources, we use those resources, aggregated resources, to identify and open and run co-op businesses, or what we call secondary co-ops, or what we may want to call just Ulu-owned businesses. And so our flagship model for our operating businesses is the Us Lifting Us Market and Exchange. And for short, we call it the Ulu Mart. This is a fairly large brick-and-mortar structure or steel and other materials. It may not be brick-and-mortar. But on a size of anywhere from 50,000 square feet up to 150,000 square feet. And these would be marketplaces. As we know in our communities, there are not a lot of friendly and vibrant opportunity for us to market our wares for brothers and sisters who are entrepreneurial and maybe just starting out and not have a boatload of money where they can garner a major structure to house their business. There's always a need for a marketplace. And the marketplace we envision has many components, farmer's market, a thrift component, a massive consignment component, weekly auctions, commercial kitchens, and maybe even commercial coffee roasting, canning facilities, a food court representing some of the businesses that popular and popping in the community. Movie theater / event hall, meeting space for rent, office, classroom space, space for healers. But the majority of the space in the Ulu Marts would be occupied by stores, booths, kiosks, tabletop space that we would rent to business persons in the community. And again, we always want to take into account the whole family. So some of these facilities, tabletop facilities, you know, you could envision a junior high school person or high school person starting a business. And we would, the Ulu Mart would also be a business incubator. So there would be some hands-on aid, assistance for bringing a new business into creation and hopefully outgrowing the Ulu Mart. And, of course, it wouldn't be our space if we didn't set aside some time and energy for entertainment. So these spaces are not just for commerce. It's for education, entertainment, and there will be other components as well. And they won't all be the same in every location. And in some locations, depending on the weather, these may feel like an open-air market where you may be able to raise the sides of it so that, you know, the outdoor elements are there. Some of them may be attached to a greenhouse. Some of them may be attached to living space. But the basics is that this is a space where brothers and sisters who have products, goods, and services and entertainers can come and feel comfortable that they're in their space. And so now, obviously, this third element of our master plan goes beyond the Ulu Marts. We'll have other businesses as well, small, medium, and large, as we grow, not only in the retail environment, but in hospitality, in transportation, in agriculture, manufacturing. So as we grow, we want to be in a position to fund and operate all of the kinds of businesses that we would need. But a major benefit of this is creating jobs. We have a goal of creating a minimum of 100,000 new jobs. And well-paying jobs. So these businesses are not just businesses that offer products, goods, and services, but they also create jobs. Mm-hmm. So that third element is really where the rubber meets the road in terms of the economic turns. When we talk about, for instance, when we talk about Black Wall Street, we're really talking about us being in a container, a business environment where we exchange with each other. And so we want to create the same environment, not only in the Ulu Mart and the other businesses that we establish, but we also want to look at identifying certain sections of communities where we dominate the commercial or the economic activity in those communities. Instead of people saying Little Italy or Little Korea or whatever else, these are Big Africa in our communities. And, of course, we know that the psychological and spiritual impact of us being in our own space, knowing that we may not be bringing in the electricity, we may not be bringing in the water, but the in some cases we may. But
that's right.
But the other aspects of exchange, we dominate that. So, but what I was about to mention in terms of Black Wall Street, their efforts now to have us refocus and bring Black Wall Street into the 21st century. Now, one of the major aspects of all of the Black Wall Streets at the turn of the 19th century was that a big factor was forced segregation and the fact that we couldn't take our resources and go to the other side of the tracks because we weren't welcome. That factor is no longer in place. People, industry is vying for our dollars. So we are encouraged to spend our money with everybody. And we reciprocate, we do. And so what we have to do is look for elements within our community to make us want to do business with each other and, in fact, reward us for doing so, and in some cases a negative reward for not doing so. But anyway, the third element is the businesses and business institutions that we build, and not only locally, but there will be businesses in between those businesses that are business-to-business entities in the logistics or in wholesaling and the like. And we look forward to establishing international trade between the cities and the regions and the countries where we have business locations as well. So the first element is ULU. That's where we start with creating this legal structure and building membership. We want to build membership into the hundreds of thousands. And then for the members to coalesce in local communities and create the atmosphere. I think, Brother Auntie, you talk about us standing up, you know, this process and demonstrating the concept of family-centered economics through our activity and through our practice in communities. And then the fruits of that or the businesses that we create, again, small, medium, and large, the primary is the ULUMAR, but we'll do other businesses as well. And some of the family already know that we had a small business, a test business here in Atlanta, Cafe ULU, and we had to close it just a little over a year ago. But we learned and are still learning many lessons from that, and we have several projects on the drawing board now that we're looking forward to bringing into material existence in the near future. And we're going to be opening the opportunity for members around the country and around the African world to bring new ideas to ULU that we may give attention to labor at bringing resources together to manifest them. So that's the third element, the ULU businesses, local and national and global.
Thank you, Baba. We're right up against the break. We're going to take a quick music break, family. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back, and we'll continue our conversation with Baba Hekima on the way to Black economic power. Stay tuned. And we're back. Again, this is Dare to Win, the Us Lifting Us Thursday night program. And tonight, we're talking about the way to Black economic power. Our guest is none other than an elder and founder of Us Lifting Us, Baba Hekima. And so far, he's laid out a plan for us in terms of how do we build this Black economic power. The first is to develop the primary cooperative to create that legal entity that can do business. We've done that. The second is the Us Lifting Us based collectives, and he talked about this mechanism that helps us to become more relational and put a foundation under the businesses that we are going to operate. The third one we talked about was the Ulu Mart and the other businesses that will spin off as a result of the work of Us Lifting Us. And that brings us to the fourth plank in this master plan called the Trade Basket. Again, if you're just joining us and want to jump into the conversation, the phone number is 929-477-2789. Again, that's 929-477-2789. So, Baba Hekima, let's jump into that fourth plank, the fourth part of the master plan. Talk to us about the Trade Basket. What is that?
Yes, brother, and thank you again for the opportunity. And, you know, family, please know that all of these elements are attached to each other. They are part of a machinery, a part of a well-oiled machine. The fourth element is, as you mentioned, the Trade Basket. When we talked about the third element and we talked about the Ulu Marts and other businesses, for the most part, especially the Ulu Mart, is a marketplace, a brick-and-mortar marketplace on the ground. The Trade Basket is a marketplace, but it's in cyberspace. It's an online platform. Not only is it a marketplace, but it goes further than that. It's a search engine. It's a business directory. It's an iMall. And it's a major promotional platform for Ulu-owned businesses, for businesses that are owned by Ulu members, for businesses that we identify and are fond of and do business with in the community that may not be associated with Ulu. The Trade Basket will become the premier online environment for Black economic empowerment. And the thing I want to stress is that it will be a major promotional platform where representatives of the Trade Basket will advertise and using radio, television, print media, will find their way into newsletters of organizations, go to conventions, to trade shows, to festivals. And the logo of the Trade Basket hopefully will be recognized, and it's still being developed. Several artists are taking a look at and submitting renditions. But hopefully it will be the seal of approval for Black enterprise, for Black-owned businesses, for our thrust at building a global Black economy. The Trade Basket has a unique relationship to the UBCs that we talked about earlier, the second element. The UBCs or the Ulu chapters would funnel information to the Trade Basket based on the Black business ownership footprint in their local areas. And so we would have on the online platform ways to identify the businesses that are on the ground in our local areas. and that's going to be involved, and there will probably be downloads and apps to facilitate it. But the trade basket gives us the ability to promote not only ULU businesses, but businesses owned by ULU members and other businesses and institutions in the community. And when I say businesses and institutions, we don't just want to connect our businesses with the trade basket, but we really want our schools, our institutions, especially institutions of higher learning, the business departments, maybe even the social work departments or whatever, the other organizations that have to do with commerce, we want to link all of those up. And the trade basket gives us the opportunity to promote business activity in general, but what we bring uniquely to the charge or to the work to be done is a group-owned model. But we don't want to isolate ourselves, because many of our members have businesses of their own, and we want to find a platform that allows us to get the greatest bang for the buck, so to speak. And so the four elements all work together and will grow together, and in city after city and town after town and region and countries, this will grow and become a platform that has far-reaching implications. You know, one of the things we didn't mention, but paramount, is that land acquisition is a key element in everything that we do. And so as we're talking about businesses, opening business and running business, we're also talking about acquiring land and real estate. And not all of it will be related to retail or to manufacturing. Some of it may be related to agriculture itself. And so these four elements give us the ability to put in place a machinery that incrementally we build the capacity to keep our dollars circulating in our community more and more, because not only are we aware and committed to keeping those dollars circulating, but we own the businesses. And we also have the added benefit that for members who qualify for profit sharing, we are also dealing with, again, a win-win scenario. Not only are we empowering the community through building new businesses, but members have an opportunity to position themselves so that they have a direct benefit as well. And remember, ULU members are not just individuals. A church can be a member. An African-centered school can be a member. A daycare center can be a member. A barbershop can be a member, as long as it's a legal entity. So as this process succeeds and began to produce surplus, or what you call a profit, a net profit, those surpluses and net profits are being distributed back to the community, tying us from a what's in it for me perspective into this platform, this infrastructure, this cycle of doing business with ourselves. And so we find ourselves bringing into creative existence the Black Wall Street effect, not because we are forced together, but we find now benefits from being together, not only creating the jobs, providing the needed goods and services, but also we're, as member owners, from our success, part of that goes back to the households of the members, that are the owners as well. So it's a win-win scenario, and there's much motivation for us coming together and pooling our resources because we're creating jobs for our children, our grandchildren, but we're also producing a permanent income. I just want to say this. I know we're getting it close to the clock. But when we say a permanent income, in Ulu, members have the ability to create a position or to qualify as a member owner and qualify for profit sharing, but then they can will that certificate of ownership to their children, to their church, to their sorority, wherever they choose to. And as long as that person or institution that you willed your ownership to qualifies as an Ulu member, so the benefits continue. It can continue for as long as we are on the planet. And so we're building a permanent system of rewards and benefits for us supporting and loving each other in a practical sense. And so it's work that we know needs to be done. And the truth of it is there's nothing standing in our way other than, and I think it's credible, but it's we can overcome it, and we have overcome it. And the thing that would stand in our way is what we call FUD, is fear, uncertainty, and doubt. Because, you know, the essential qualities we have always had with us, and it's us, our will, and our resource. So those are the four elements, and hopefully I didn't run through them. And there's an opportunity for us to actually go through it in a much more thorough presentation. We have a full presentation where we bullet point every element in our master plan. And, of course, you couldn't do that on a radio program, and you can't even do it on a typical Zoom platform. But we have special sessions where for members and for prospective members, we can take you through the longer, more detailed version with Q&A. And for brothers and sisters who would want to experience that, just fill out the feedback form on our website and ask for an opportunity to be exposed to the full empowerment plan our master plan.
That's very exciting, Baba Hakima. It's really visionary, and the what it can do and what it will do when we get fully up and running will revolutionize where we are economically. We have just a minute left. I did want to just get one bit of clarification on the trade basket. As you mentioned, it's online, it's virtual, it's an internet business, but it also, as you were describing it, it gave me the impression of it's like this Ulu trade basket would be the hub of a wheel with many spokes touching every aspect economically in our community, all the institutions, all the other businesses, yeah. And facilitating communication, and more importantly, facilitating business back and forth. So that, yeah. I mean, we don't have anything like that right now. So that's radical.
We don't.
And the potential is unlimited for us. So that's exciting.
And the other thing, it in itself is a business. It's an online business with all of the elements that you talk about, because some of the functions on the trade basket we can monetize and actually bring in revenue. So it is itself a secondary co-op or a secondary business. But, yes, there is nothing like it in existence. You know, we have many platforms, but you don't have a comprehensive platform. And it gives us the ability to build capacity to do many of the things that we can't do just from business to business in the community. We're going to have to do a lot of research at a central location as well. And we, of course, we have our research and business development committee, but there needs to be internet cyberspace backbone for some of the things that we want to do. But it's you know, there's nothing stopping us. You know, we just got to do it. And
there you
the
go.
Wheel is there.
But, and we've got all of 2021 to build this.
Yes,
that just
indeed.
About does it for us, family. We're out of time. Please go to our website, usliftingus.com. That's usliftingus.com. Check us out. Hit the join button. See the information. And if this makes as much sense to you as it does to us, come join us and be a part of this and help us build black economic power in 2021. Baba Hakima,
okay.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Family, thank you for listening. And we will be safe on this New Year's Eve. Have a great day tomorrow. Don't overeat. And we'll be back next Thursday for another edition of Dead.